B-Pod Studios.
That's our good friend, Mr. Adam Kaplan. Good morning, Adam.
Guys, good to talk to you today.
The new episode dropped already. Can people check that out?
We did, yeah. So every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, it drops at 6 a.m. Eastern. It's also on YouTube as well. And when we have Inside the Birds Radio tonight, we'll have more information about what the tape looked like and what the thoughts are for this week's game against Baltimore, which is, by the way, very winnable, a little bit more winnable, I would say, than the game against Pittsburgh. I know it sounds strange, but we'll have some interesting information tonight. But man, what a interesting game this one was on Sunday. Didn't go quite like some people thought, but the Steelers are a pretty good football team.
I agree. They are better than the Eagles, and I think yesterday was good evidence of that. But this year, Adam, we've talked about Doug Peterson a lot. We said he needs to be better. We talked about Carson Wentz, especially through the first two and a half, three games of the season, saying he needs to be better. We've talked about Howie Roseman's roster construction really throughout the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season. Today, the guy that's number one in my crosshairs is Jim Schwartz. What did you take away from how this defense played against Pittsburgh?
Yeah, and Mark, the thing about this year with Schwartz is his defense is making stars out of players that shouldn't be stars. I mean, Chase Claypool is an interesting player. He's a rookie that most people around the National Football League thought he's got a ways to go. He's a little bit raw, but you know, coaching matters. Randy Fichtner, the OC of the Steelers, did a great job of using him against predictable coverage and what he thought he was going to get, and these inside handoffs with receivers have gotten the Eagles. Robert Woods got them earlier when the Rams came in, and Claypool was amazing. But you know, people want to blame Jim Schwartz. I call it the sins of the 2017 draft at cornerback, the miss on Sidney Jones, the miss on Rasul Douglas, who, by the way, Douglas is playing a ton of snaps, though the Eagles and Panthers don't play the same kind of scheme, so I could understand why he might be playing more there. But those misses on those corners, had they worked out here, we're probably not talking about the issues that Schwartz has had. But you have who you have at corner, you have who you have at linebacker, and no matter what he seems to try, it's not working. I mean, the linebacker situation is embarrassing. I mean,
a 1,000%.
And in the corner situation, opposite Darius Slay is a problem. I mean, as I was just saying, I mean, Chase Claypool, Tyler Boyd, and then the safety issues, very inconsistent opposite Roddy McLeod. The Eagles are the worst team in the National Football League at covering tight ends. Eric Ebron, they did an okay job against him, but the issue was Chase Claypool. And the other thing is, before we move on to the next point here, the lack of pressure on Ben Roethlisberger was amazing. It's amazing what happens 1 week. You get tape on your opponent like the Steelers had on the Eagles, and they made sure that pressure would not be an issue for Ben.
And I agree with you. You look back on those drafts, and that's where we do concentrate more on Howie Roseman than anything. But the fact of the matter is that last touchdown of Chase Claypool was a linebacker. It was Nate Gary being on him. What should have happened in that play?
Well, he shouldn't have been on him. And then the coverage, I was talking to someone who I really respect around the NFL and said that the coverage was... Yes, they got what they wanted on Gary, but the decision on the way that they used their coverage was probably a mistake. But the bottom line is you got to give the Steelers credit. They knew what they were getting. They were getting less than average linebackers. They were getting an issue opposite Darius Slay, which they were going to take advantage of. And they used the Eagles' pass rush against them. They had Roethlisberger on a lot of three-step drops. It's very smart coaching by Randy Fichtner, the OC of the Steelers, because he saw what happened last week. When the Eagles got tremendous pressure against the Niners, they took over. The D-line took over. But they were very smart in their game planning. They did a very good job. And you're going to see this from a lot of teams now. They're going to make sure that the quarterback doesn't take a lot of 5- and 7-step drops, get it out of the quarterback's hands quickly. And the Steelers have maybe the NFL's deepest receiver core. They're 4 deep at receiver. They're 2 deep at tight end. And they took advantage of a team that is very shorthanded on defense.
Adam, you had a line that perked my ears a little bit about Schwartz. You said, no matter what he seems to try, it's not working. Is he trying a lot of different things? And I don't mean play by play. I mean overall. Is he trying different schemes here and there that just aren't working altogether, whether it be because of talent or because he's not scheming well?
Yeah, Bob. I mean, he runs a specific front, the wide nine. I mean, it's not a scheme. It's a front.
Right.
And it's what you do behind it you hope that you have personnel behind it that could help you. I mean, Jeff Mosher and I have been critical of Schwartz for, you know, nearly 2 years. Certain times, you know, we give him credit when he's done a good job. Last week, he hit a great job against the Niners. He had a really good front. He did some different things, but I just don't think the talent level is going to be good enough on defense. I don't think it's I don't think it's a. I know people want to beat up Schwartz, and that's fine. I mean, look, the defense was awful yesterday. There's no excusing it. They got beat badly, soundly, but they have the players that they have. It's just a lack of resources. I think that Jim's been given here. He's certainly not perfect. He's made some mistakes, but I think he's a better coach than the talent that they're given with. It's just that you have what you have, and it's not going to change. By the way, where the season has started, we're well into it. Unless you make trades. There's not much you can do about it.
Speaking with Adam Kaplan, you can catch him tonight on Inside the Birds podcast with Jeff Mosher, 6 to 8, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Zach Ertz is another one that I know a lot of people are upset with, and Doug Peterson was struggling for answers yesterday. What do you think's been the issue with Zach Ertz this season?
Yeah, the last two games in particular, I don't know what the issue is with Zach in terms of production. I mean, he got six targets. The emotional part of his game, which has really carried him. He's, you know, one of their leaders on offense. We know about his productivity. The guy always shows up. The last 2 weeks has been sort of puzzling when you see Travis Fulgham, who was incredible. And look, you know, everyone would say, well, Wentz only wants to go to Ertz. Well, that's no longer the case. You could throw that out the door. That is there's no validity anymore. Wentz went with who got open and who was able to make plays. And it was very surprising. They need Zach Ertz to get back to who we know who he is. Because they did not get very much production other than Fulgham. I mean, really no one else got the job done. Wentz was spreading it around, but they need Ertz to be the big pass target that he's been since 2013.
Adam, are you satisfied with the way that Doug Peterson has been using, and yesterday in particular, using Miles Sanders in the offense?
Yeah, I mean, look, the run game was horrific yesterday. There's no other way around it. They had the 74-yard sprint draw, and that was great play. But other than that, I mean, he had less than 10 yards so on his other 10 carries. They're not getting anything out of their backup running backs. Boston Scott has completely disappeared, and Clement is just not. Doesn't even get in. He doesn't do anything. I mean, he's not been a factor since 17. They need a little bit of help from their backup running backs. They need to use probably Boston Scott in the pass game more. I'm a little bit surprised that he's not been a factor there. Sanders, you know, he got a couple catches, but the Steelers have a great defense. They really did shut him down. Other than the 74-yard run. I thought Doug did what he could with what he has. I mean, he doesn't have a lot of speed at receiver without DeSean Jackson in the lineup. I'd said on our pregame show before the game yesterday that, and it's funny, I knew this would happen, that Quez Watkins, if he plays, he's probably going to draw a PI. They'll throw it deep to him. That's exactly what happened. Well, you know what? It's speed, guys. You need speed. Fulgham's been a great story, but they need someone who could get downfield and help out Zach Ertz. And they don't have that right now until Jackson comes back.
What you said about Miles Sanders on the play, Adam, you said it was a great play, the sprint draw. Mm-hmm. We never saw it again. I'm not saying, oh, it'll work great. You got to keep going. But were there times, do you think, during the game that maybe they could have revisited it?
Well, there are certain ways you can do it. Bob, once you put it out there, you need to change it up, your launch point for it. I mean, you can do it again. In fact, I remember when Andy Reid was here, this is a common play. They would do it sometimes more than one game for sure. Yeah, I mean, creativity, we could probably see more than that, no doubt. But I also think Peterson's handcuffed to what the talent level that he has. I mean, the Fulgham story, I mean, here's a kid that was cut by two teams. The Eagles did have, you know, the Eagles had a draftable grade on him, but I mean, to think that he could do what he's doing is just remarkable. And you look at it this way, I don't know how they're going to score if Fulgham does not show up like he has. This is a team that's going to struggle to score probably 17 points a game. The guy set the table, and it's really remarkable. A guy that no one knows anything about all of a sudden comes out of nowhere to do what he does. And I do want to mention Wentz really improved. His first pick was on him, there's no doubt. But other than that, he had a pretty good game. And again, he's doing it with not a lot of talent around him.
Absolutely. Speaking with Adam Kaplan, Inside the Birds podcast, something else that we've been kicking around today is the choice to go for the field goal, the 57-yard field goal with Jake Elliott at Heinz Field. I was shocked. Doug Peterson, the guy that's gone for it and had the big play moments and all that, I was shocked that he just went for the one-point lead.
Yeah, it's funny because when Jeff and I were doing our show, he talked me out of it because I was like, you know, first of all, I would never have kicked it. 57 yards, such a low percentage kick.
Mm.
A little bit of rain. Conditions weren't great.
And Heinz Field, notorious.
Right. It's not a great place.
Don't sway the jury, Mark.
No, it is actually true. It's not. You're talking to kickers over the years. I've talked to a couple of kick there and said it's not easy. But what Mosher said is right. I mean, if anything, if you go for it and don't get it, the field position is almost negligible from kicking it there and missing. So you probably should have gone for it.
I agree.
Yeah, you could criticize Doug on that one. I don't have a problem with that.
My issue is that this is a guy that has gone for the 2-point conversions. This is a guy who then walked it back after not going for it on the 4th and 12 against the Bengals. I thought of all situations, this would have been an opportunity for him to show that confidence in his team and ultimately make the smarter play, because you're still going to end up giving the ball back to Ben Roethlisberger with over 3 minutes left in that game, only up 1 point.
Yeah, and again, and that's the thing, is that you really have to get points there, because their defense was obviously, it was a struggle. They got next to no pressure on Roethlisberger. They couldn't do anything against him. You had to get points there. I get it. And the dam broke. I mean, it's really remarkable. The tale of two games. A game where against a lesser Niner team, I mean, they had 18 quarterback hits. It was just remarkable, the pressure they were able to get. And everything was negated against Pittsburgh. You call that a tale of two games.
Adam, you teased us at the beginning saying next week might be more winnable than yep. this week was. Why do you say that?
Watching the Ravens, I've watched every snap of all their games, and I'll tell you what, you get ahead of them, they got problems. They're one of the worst teams I've seen in years of trying to, when they're behind, they have literally no answer. Where the Eagles, I'll say this about them, they have a tremendous fight. It's one thing I do want to add. The players play so hard for Peterson. And they're undermanned, and to push the Steelers like they did, I mean, heck, they when Doug had that challenge and won, that really changed everything. They really came back and cut it to 2 points. But when you see Baltimore, you saw it in the playoffs. Lamar Jackson has not been as good. I love watching him, but they have this issue when they're behind, they just struggle. They're just not made to. They're made to run the football. They're not a great passing team, although Lamar Jackson's improved as a passer. They just don't throw it very much. So, and I know Baltimore's got a good, very good defense. They're not quite as good as Pittsburgh, but they're close. If the Eagles could find a way to get up 10-0, Baltimore's in trouble, because they, again, they're not made to play from behind. So if I'm Doug Peterson, I'm gonna put a lot of emphasis on trying to get up early and see what happens.
Any chance there's a big change made defensively? Any chance that whether or not that's Sean Bradley getting linebacker reps more? Any chance something big like that happens?
I mean, Sean Bradley is a 6th-round pick out of Temple who most teams thought would be a really good special teams player. He's a guy that maybe you play him in sub packages. No one really thought he'd be a starter. It was Singleton. Remember, the Eagles were going nickel and dime yesterday. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Duke Riley had to play a lot. Duke Riley was a guy that flashed a little bit on special teams last season. Talking to the Falcons about him, he started off very well with them. His first year was actually a starter. Then his play regressed significantly. And this is what we have with the linebacker group. They all really should be backups. Some could be very good backups like Singleton, like Riley. T.J. Edwards, they're missing him. He's not a bad football player. But teams are going to continue to take advantage of matchups. And I'll tell you what, with Baltimore, most sophisticated run game in the National Football League, a GM told me, they do all sorts of stuff that you're never going to see from another team. And it's the mental gymnastics for the linebackers are going to be really hard. And the run fakes to the cornerbacks, getting them to bite. There's got to be a lot of discipline on defense in this game. It's completely different than what Pittsburgh offers you from their offense.
Any idea if DeSean Jackson will play or Alshon Jeffery or anything like that?
Yeah, DeSean Jackson, I'm told, has got a grade one hamstring strain. It was supposed to be just a 2-week injury. We just passed the 2-week mark. I would think you'd practice more this week and have a realistic chance to play. And then with Alshon, you know, he had the illness. He was going to practice Friday. So I would say these guys are pretty close. And you know, it's funny, people are kind of like, well, what would Eagles do if they have 7 or 8 receivers on their active roster? Believe me, they love to have that problem.
Yeah, right.
They love to have these guys available because they need veterans. They need DeSean's speed. This offense could take to the next level if they could get those guys on the field.
And then finally, also, Will Parks was only supposed to be a 2 or 3 week injury, and we haven't really seen him either.
He had a significant hamstring strain, Mark, okay. I'm told. It was probably going to be around a 6-week injury, so and the way that Doug Peterson, Doug actually confirmed that it was much worse. He had a significant hamstring strain. So you got to take it easy with these things. You don't want to have guys have setbacks. And I'm glad you brought him up because they have a significant role in mind for him. And he was supposed to be a part of the changeover in defense that they were going to make. That Schwartz would be a little bit more innovative. And we saw that against the Niners. He's going to play a big role when he comes back, and if he's healthy, you're going to see him play a lot. He's an interesting guy to keep an eye on.
All right, well, we will be tuning in tonight, 6 to 8 o'clock, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. You and Jeff Mosher, Inside the Birds podcast, brought to you by DraftKings. Adam, thanks so much, man. Great stuff as always.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.